and now we may party.
With checks and guns and fire trucks and hookers and drugs and booze.
Yeah. Ah! Hey, bartender, another beer.
You gotta get me more beer.
What the hell is that shit?
Complimentary beverage. Help yourself.
Excuse me while I whip this house.
What is wrong with these people? This place is just begging to be destroyed.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head. Imperial IPA show.
And we got a bunch of them to go through. It's taken two cities worth of IPAs to get through, and we're starting off on our end with an offering from Hebrew, the chosen beer. You like that? I'm getting my Jewishness on, because you know my wife is half Jewish and half Catholic. God.
Which half?
What a mess.
Which half is she?
So she wouldn't probably appreciate this beer, but then feel really bad about it. But it's an interesting one. It's called Bittersweet Lenny's R.I.P.A., a double India Pale Ale with rye malt. And what are you drinking on your end, Rick?
I'm drinking the Boulder Beer Company Mojo Rising.
Mojo
Rising. Which is a double IPA.
And we said on the what you just said was Imperial IPAs, right? And this is a curious thing, hearkening back to our exhaustive lecture last show on beer styles. IPA, an Imperial IPA, and a double IPA are essentially the same thing, according to the BJCP. And they're a whole lot laxer than if you were talking about an Imperial Stout, which I thought that was kind of interesting. It's like these IPAs now, because, you know, they've gotten to such extremes that this is kind of like the catch-all category, if you will. And so this is a good category for my beer, the Bittersweet Lenny's R.I.P.A. to be in, because it looks like somebody swept out the back room at a beer supply store. The laundry list in this beer is insane. And the reason it's called this is commemorating the 40th anniversary of the death of Lenny Bruce. It's a rye-based double IPA. And the flavors come from, get this, two-row, rye ale malt, torrefied rye, crystal rye 75, crystal malt 65, wheat, kiln amber, and caramel 70. So I lost count of how many malts that is, but then it gets worse. The hops: Warrior, Cascade, Simcoe, Crystal, Chinook, Amarillo, Centennial, and dry hopped with Amarillo and Crystal.
Kitchen sink.
Oh, that's kind of funny, huh?
Does that not sound like, I mean, everything?
But the kitchen sink.
So
have a nice, well-blended beer, huh?
It has a great taste, and it's got a little bit of that rye kind of nuttiness, you know. That Mike said, "Well, what's the deal with rye?" And I didn't have a real good answer, so I made one up about you know, it does add a little bit of flavor, but I know you don't really go to town with the rye because isn't it extremely sticky?
Right, it'll mess up your mash pretty bad.
Yeah,
use a lot of rice hulls.
So,
but they make damn tasty beers, I'll tell you. I love rye beers.
And I can only think of like one or two that we had here, but it does have kind of a nuttiness to it, you mm-hmm. know, when he's and the hops.
Plenty of hops.
Plenty. And
a little bit of alcohol flavor.
Yeah, because it is 10% alcohol, mm-hmm. which is the imperial part, which is...
gives it a little sweetness.
Why imperial is a good word. It means alcohol. So that's what we're drinking. How's your mojo hanging there?
Well, the website description says only 120 precious barrels were brewed, adding more than half a ton of extra malt and twice the amount of Amarillo hops. So prepare yourself for a full century explosion. The double dry hop addition elevates the grapefruit-like aroma and flavor to an outrageous intensity, while the added malt rises the alcohol level from 7% all the way to 10% by volume. So this is like a double version of their regular Mojo.
Ah, so that's
an IPA.
That's the rising
part. Boulder Beer Company also makes what's becoming my in and day in and out beer. hazed and infused.
Oh, yeah. That's a fantastic beer. I had that. I forget what city I was in, but I had that at some restaurant. And I want to say it was like a Rock Bottom or something.
It could be, yeah.
Are they related to that?
No, I don't believe they are.
Well, it was something. It was something along the same name, but it was really good. Had a nice hop flavor and like the kind of citrusy smell, and finished great. Is Lenny wants to hang around a little bit.
You know, I tend to get a little grapefruit out of this one.
Well, because I've been eating a lot of the Rendezvous seasoning and cheese and jalapeno chips, I'm not sure what I'm getting.
Yeah, Rick, we're loaded down with show snacks, man.
I load down with Taco Bell.
It's all covered in Rendezvous seasoning. We're going to have to ship you some out there.
Banana peppers and the whole nine yards.
All kinds of stuff.
I do need some dry rub out here. Now, I was looking for some and I couldn't find it. So
you were talking about your activity you got coming up tomorrow.
That's right. I've been invited to a co-worker's house and we're going to play some Texas Hold'em.
And you being
I've never seen it played. You know, watch the TV shows. I don't have any idea what the rules are. I assume you have cards and chips.
Yep. And I think it's something to do with cows and clothes, but I'm not sure.
Hey, Rick, just go to ESPN2, and they play that on TV just about all night long. And you can watch the world championships and all that stuff. And
are you sure that's not on ESPN 8?
The Ocho. No, it's ESPN the Deuce. And but you'll learn enough to be semi-competitive, probably.
And so by competitive, you'll only lose your money in 35 minutes instead of 30 minutes.
Right, so. Right.
I think Mike is saying that if I go to ESPN 2 and watch that on TV, I should be the big winner tomorrow night?
No, yeah. You'll only lose a little, instead of a lot.
I think he's going to guarantee.
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's going to stake you.
Yeah.
You'll be playing with his money.
Yeah.
Now, when you told me that, I said, so you're like going to a bar. Because for a while there, that was like the huge activity. But you're talking about going and playing for money.
Right.
And will there be
real money?
Will there be alcohol involved?
There will.
Well, this is where we were going to talk about gambling and gambling with your beer. So, do your coworkers know that you know a thing or two about a beer?
I haven't really exposed that side of myself too much. I've talked to a couple of them, but no,
yeah.
I haven't.
So when you show up and they offer you a PBR or a Milwaukee's Best... Well,
you know, I forestall that uncomfortable situation by bringing my own.
There you go.
Like, I went to a friend's house and I brought some 1554 from New Belgium the other day.
Very nice.
A very nice black beer.
Did they know what you were bringing?
I didn't even ask.
Well, there you go. And that's probably the best way. Don't gamble with your beer. Lose your money.
Here's some beer. I'll take the first one.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Yeah, Rick. Broncos Mojo Rising. It's not quite as sweet and sticky as the 120, Dogfish Head 120.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't even say it was as extreme as a 90.
Now, what about, because the 90 is kind of like the baseline for Imperial IPAs. You know, I mean, it's been extremely well received, won awards and so forth. So,
yeah, what is the 90 alcohol by volume? Is it 12?
Nine,
yeah.
Nine. Okay, yeah. So this is 1% higher.
Yeah, I bought some of that 90 the other day in the liquor store, and it turned out to be pretty good. It'd been so long since I'd had one.
That's as
good
as it gets. Yeah. So you're the Mojo Rising. You said it was kind of like a 120 in the mouthfeel, the thickness, or
the sweetness.
Sweetness.
You kind of get those malt sweetness at the higher levels of alcohol.
Yeah. And that's where the IPAs, you know, to carry the hops, you got to really jack up the malt, because the thing isn't the alpha S's at some point just take over. Well, let's take a break here, and before we do, I want to point out we had no opening song, and the reason is because one of the listeners said, hey, quit jerking around with the, playing a song.
Get on with it.
Just get on with it. So we did. We pulled up one of our old openings from the archive. Let us know how you think and what you want us to do. And we'll come back with our next beers. In the meantime, while Rick's mojo's rising, we're going to get our own mojo rising with a former dead guy. I guess he's still technically dead. But Eddie Vedder partnering with the Doors for Break On Through. And there's a mojo rising in there.
Treasures in.
The dead
plus one, Eddie Vedder. And you remember Eddie Vedder? What band? Pearl Jam.
Oh, really?
Come on, man.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not a big Pearl Jam fan.
Not now.
Well, true, but I wasn't back then either.
Man, look at this beer. We just poured. Okay, we got our second beer going, but you know, on the description, they talk about lacing and head. Look at these giant bubbles.
Yeah.
This is some crazy looking beer. Really rocky head, pillows, rocks, and giant bubbles in the head. I've never seen it. Looks like Swiss cheese.
Looks good.
Huge.
And looks like a dessert, doesn't it?
This beer we're talking about that we're drinking is, believe it or not, our old pals who wouldn't answer the phone, but I found their beer anyway, Green Flash.
But he logged onto the website.
He did. And I got to give him credit. And we are now the ones holding the bag for catching up with him.
Yep.
But I saw this the last time I was out to California. It's an Imperial IPA from Green Flash. So I grabbed it, and I hadn't had a drink yet. But the way it looks is real impressive. It's a great color, kind of a little darker gold. And the head's just crazy looking. It's like the bubbles are all different sizes coming up through.
Almost like whipped cream.
Yeah, that's what it does look like.
Yeah.
Now, what are you drinking on your end?
I got the small batch 471 from Breckenridge Brewery. It says 471 IPA, aggressive hoppiness. Hoppy brother, 471 IPA redefines hoppy. 471 is small batch limited edition ale that was created by our brewmaster to separate the weak from the strong. 471 is a double IPA that combines pale, Munich, caramel 30, carapils, and torrefied wheat malts with Chinook, Centennial, Simcoe, and Fuggles hops.
Yeah, now see, we're two for two with Simcoes.
Yeah, I could definitely get the Simcoe coming off the top of this one. Actually, the Chinook is what I'm bigger
for. Sort of pine and crisp nose on it. Stuff. Well, this one, the Green Flash, and I think the first few words nails it. San Diego style IPA. This is definitely, they are the owners of double IPA style. San Diego style IPA, coming to know by many as a super hoppy, high gravity, yet highly quaffable ale. This is created in the new tradition with intense hop flavors and aromas from a unique blend of Summit and Nugget hops. It's all about the hops. You don't really think of Summit and Nugget as being, the foundation, and that's it. Because the ones that we've had, I mean, I can't remember if either of them are a noble one. I think Nugget's like some variation or something. But this comes off great. And the IBUs on this bad boy, 101.
Yeah, it's got that bitter factor going, that pucker factor.
Yeah. This has a 97 on right beer. And the alcohol, though, is slightly lower than our previous one. So it's 9%.
Yeah, mine's riding in at 9.2% with the 70 IBUs.
I'd like this one to finish a little quicker, but other than that, it's a very good beer.
I'm appreciative of it. Yeah, you're right.
It sticks around a little bit longer than I normally like, but the flavor is makes up for it. I mean, it's very good.
The head stays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm looking on these tasting notes. There is a citrus flavor to that. And that's what I like about lots of hops is, depending on the hops, you get that kind of citrus or pine or something. It's a real fresh flavor.
It's a good looking beer too. It's real real light gold color, not a, you know, a deep dark amber or anything like that. It's a real pretty beer, and
it smells good. Got a little bit of that floral.
Smells good.
No, so this is good job. Good job by Green Flash.
And you know, if you go back to that Green Flash show, I think just about all the beers we gave approval of all of them. I mean,
enjoy the beers, but this is,
they make a good line of beers.
This is far and away a step above their standard line. And I know this isn't one that you can go and buy in a six pack. I think it only comes in. So we'll have to check that out. So
it's kind of hard to come by.
Yeah, it is. I can tell you, this is the last one in the BevMo that I went to.
Well, what states are out there that you can go to a grocery store and buy stuff like that?
I think just California.
Really?
Well, hey, we owe them a phone call. We're not going to know until we call them.
But, I mean, I was talking about like the high alcohol content beers. Are there states out there that you can go buy these out of a grocery store, or do you always have to go to a liquor store, or how does that work?
Well, California, you can buy it at BevMo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if you classify that as it's not a grocery store or like, well, they sell liquor, but they sell liquor in grocery stores. I don't know. You know, because we're so ass backwards here in Mefrica, we don't know about those things. Well, Rick, the one you got.
California might be one of the most progressive states there is.
Oh, absolutely.
The ability to buy alcohol.
What's it like in Denver? Do you buy what's the alcohol content you can buy out of a grocery store?
And where did you buy the one you're drinking now?
At a liquor store.
Okay. Was that just because you were trained right, or or you just have
a creature of habit?
Yeah, habit.
No, the grocery stores, at least the ones I've been to, they have not had a very good selection, and they have been relatively low-gravity beers. So I'm willing to bet that Colorado has the same restrictions.
That's a good research project. We'll have to look that up.
It is.
So I've been hearing some rumors, and I've been wanting to address this for a while, but they do such a good job on the soup. And I'm sure there's alcohol involved. All right, two things. One, that goofy bitch, Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay, yeah.
Back in jail.
Facing her
party girl.
Brother.
11 days. 11 days. Busted again.
Okay.
Now, to me, that's just drinking irresponsibly. Learn to drink a shitload of liquor and alcohol and drive like the rest of us. Ask
she
your,
had a,
ask your
point
dad.
Two, I think.
She had what?
A .12.
Yeah. And cocaine. Cocaine also, I believe.
I mean, well, she just now turned 21, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like they start young and all they do is consume. And this is where they're going quantity versus quality. You know?
Man, you can go to Germantown High School here in Memphrica and find a lot of 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds doing cocaine, drinking beer, and driving.
Yeah, so and you can find a whole bunch of them out in the graveyard.
She's irresponsible basically because she will not pay somebody to drive her around.
But that she couldn't afford it either.
Right.
The thing is, and this is what just pisses me off. And I bring this up only because I see this, and then there's the other one.
Brittany. Oh, you're not going to talk about Paris Hilton, right?
Brittany.
No, actually, you know, she has not been in the news. She's laying low. I think she might have learned something. She'll forget it eventually, but yeah. I think she learned something. At least it stuck longer than obviously Lindsay Lohan. But I heard a rumor. I cannot confirm or deny this, that... Britney Spears is knocked up again.
Well, so's Paris's
little Richie.
Yeah, Paris's running mate. Nicole Richie.
So, our role models for our childrens are these dumbass blondes.
Ain't the role model for my children.
Drunk, DWI, and pregnant, and. You know, just going at it. And the Britney Spears, they were showing her, again, it's like she's flashing her crotch every chance she gets.
She's proud of that monkey.
That's her, that's her pet monkey. But, I mean, doesn't it just, it's like, where's the moral decay? It's just insane.
It's everywhere. It's kind of like American Express. It's everywhere you want to be.
But it's like, what's the point? I mean, they're not, you remember, things way back that were horribly shocking, right?
Oh, it's every day now.
It's every day. Okay. Yeah. Jerry Lee Lewis. Remember?
Yeah.
His 13-year-old cousin.
Married her.
God. There were countries kicked his ass out.
Oh, yeah.
Today, he'd be invited to that country to be on a talk show.
Exactly.
It's just things have changed completely. And I don't care what you do. Hell, O.J. Simpson. The guy killed his wife. He's still getting it, although we hadn't heard from him lately. But the kids, though, back to the Lindsay and Nicole and so forth, you know there's got to be some alcohol behind all of this.
Every day.
I mean, that's what's driving them. You don't really hear about, like, Jerry Lee Lewis. Well, he wasn't liquors because he liked a 13-year-old cousin.
Exactly.
Hey, is Jerry Lee Lewis still alive? I mean,
yes.
Gave him the evil eye.
I know, we did. We put the stink eye on him and threw the hex signs at him. He's still kicking, but the death clock continues to tick.
Now, I know you two guys aren't much into sports, but heavy in the headlines has been a guy named Michael Vick.
Atlanta Falcons.
Exactly. Atlanta Falcons quarterback, pretty high profile. I mean, you don't get much high profile. Blah, blah, blah. Say that 10 times fast. You don't get much more high profile than Michael Vick, and this guy gets busted for fighting dogs, running a gambling ring.
The name didn't register. I saw that. It's like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, I mean,
they're not paying you enough.
You aren't going to believe this. This guy's worth his contract, I think, is in the $70 or $80 million range, or close to $100 million. That's like a 6 or 7 or 8 year deal, but. You know, look at the money this guy's getting ready to forfeit because he's getting ready to do jail time.
Yeah. And he is no different from these dirt poor, redneck assholes fighting dogs.
He had a confrontation in an airport where he had a water bottle with a hidden compartment in it. He got popped for that. They kind of got swept under the rug. And then a couple of months later, he he countersued and said that they stole some jewelry out of the compartment. Well, it was nothing but drugs that the airport confiscated, and they swept it underneath the rug. I mean, these folks are just loose cannons.
And, you know, I said something earlier about the moral decay. I'm not preaching morality by any stretch. It's just, use your damn head. You know, go out, party, get in the headline, do all kinds of crazy stuff. But like you said, when you're done, you know, showing your ass to everybody or your monkey, as the case may be, have your driver take your drunk, rich ass home.
Right.
And
if you're going to party, go to where you're going, buy what you're going to do and do it there, and then don't carry it with you. I mean, these folks got more money and more entourage and more people with whatever they need. I don't know why they got to have it on them. And and I'm the kind of guy that if you're in behind closed doors or whatever, you know, do what you want to do within reason. But
Behind closed doors, all bets are off. I'm bring out the sheep, the Vaseline, you know, have at
it. Well, that's not illegal, is it?
Not in Tennessee.
But fighting dogs is.
Yeah, that's right.
So
dogs and sheep fighting, that's okay.
That's kind of like I just can't get over that. This guy,
that's just crazy.
He just wadded it up and threw it out the window. $120 million.
A punitive tax, like, you know, it's like kidnapping. When you take somebody across state lines, it becomes a federal charge.
Right.
I mean, virtually anything. Mm-hmm. Right. I think there should be a punitive celebrity tax that if you make over $100,000 a year and you do something that damn stupid, they seize all your assets and take all your money.
I think that's what the FBI is getting ready to do.
There has to be something. But
fines based on your income.
Yeah.
So if you are a millionaire who's speeding, your ticket is a hell of a lot more than if you're Joe Baker down the street.
Perfect. Perfect. Hell yes. It's based on income.
Based on income.
I think that's a fantastic idea. That's a great idea. And something simple. You know, you're speeding your rich ass off, pull over, get a ticket. Ah, no big deal, right?
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. There's no degree of sin. Either it's wrong or it's right.
True, but the ability to pay for the sin.
Well, now you're looking at socialism and communism and the whole nine
yards
there.
Well, here's the thing. The guy three seats down from you in church who makes $20,000 or $30,000, he's putting his $20 in the plate, and it gets to you, and you're putting your $20 in the plate.
I'm happy with my decision. Is he happy with his?
Well, you know what I'm saying, but that's personal. But if you look at it from a church thing, it's ideally the tithing is X percent, right? Okay, so why not? I like Rick's idea. You break the law, and you're able to pay more.
Yeah.
And the only thing, because for that, it comes back to you in city, right? And we have to believe that. We have to believe that.
I think it goes to inheritance pocket.
But back to the drunken horse running around out there. There needs to be some celebrity guidelines. Otherwise, you're not allowed. If you get picked up on BWI.
Isn't that called morality?
Well, no, I'm not talking about morality. I think they need to impose some on, like, you know, whoever, the Screen Actors Guild or somebody. If you get three DWIs within a year's time, you are no longer allowed to perform anywhere for a five-year period or some such like that. Here's the other thing. If you are a judge on any show, any kind of reality show, your children are not allowed to have any kind of recording equipment. Because they're going to post your drunk hamburger eating ass on the internet.
That's Paula Abdul, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you get to see that, Rick?
Baywatch.
Yeah.
What the hell is his name?
And this is how bad it's gotten. This is what I heard. It was either last night or night before last. What's her name? Beyonce, who doesn't ever get the news for doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And she didn't do anything wrong this time. She was doing her show somewhere and tripped and fell on the stairs. So it looked real clumsy. And she stood up and said, "Please, if you're my fan and I know you're recording me, please don't put it on YouTube." It was on YouTube before the show was over.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's like, you know, these days, you can't get away with nothing.
You never know. It might not have been on his YouTube as quick if she hadn't mentioned that. But it would eventually have been on YouTube.
To your point, you're right. Yeah. But I thought, well, see, that's the kind of world we live in now.
You talk about the guidelines and whatnot. I'm happy. I'm a big sports guy, and I know you and Dick and Rick are not, but...
We're all about the women's gymnastics.
The NFL has imposed a conduct clause in a lot of these contracts, and that's what you're seeing is, like, there's a guy in Nashville, the Titans, he's been banned for a year.
And I'm okay with that, but I think still...
run-ins with the law and all that stuff.
I still think part of it, and we're the cause of it. We will pay people, and we will pay high prices for seats. Okay, you got to see stadium
football.
But
see, he's sitting out a year and not been paid.
Okay, but you got to see... But what did he make the year before? How many millions?
Yeah, but you got to understand, he's spending it as fast as he's making.
Well, the
majority of them do. The majority of them do.
Because they're idiots.
They got a posse a mile long.
Because they're idiots.
And they're paying everybody and their brother and their uncle and their auntie and their grandmama and everybody.
Because they're idiots.
Yep.
Now, you got to watch arena football. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
They're running their
and these
asses
guys are
off.
Making $30,000 a year if
that,
they're lucky.
You're right. There's like $400 or $500 a game, depending on what you're doing. And I can tell you from we have our arena football people who no longer actually play here, man, they love doing it. Mm-hmm. They get paid squat. Then they come out and socialize with the people. They're signing autographs.
Yeah.
They got girls coming up to them. Same deal. They're just not getting paid obscene amounts of money.
Right.
So, take
their
money
away. If they get a DUI, it's never in the news or
take their
anything
money
like
away.
That.
Take their money away. See what happens.
Yeah.
You know, will the quality of it go down? I don't think so. Not that
I don't
much.
Think so. I really don't.
You guys were talking about them filming Beyonce, you know, it's probably on the cell phone. Well, you know, that could happen at work if somebody's filming you.
True.
So there's
a lot of weird
environment here.
There's a lot of weird videos on the internet, on YouTube, that are like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a kid falls down and gets hurt or something, and it next thing you know, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And they aren't even famous.
And there's so much stuff on there now. It's like you don't have to watch TV anymore. And plus, it's being pushed to you now. Your iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Who? God, that's another thing. I don't know how many people lined up to get that, but it's like, and you ever heard, don't ever buy the first version of anything?
Jeez. I heard that it has a hole in it that people can hack, and they can take over your iPhone.
Yeah, that's true of anything.
Well, this is a little more susceptible than most.
I haven't heard that, but you know what? This is a thing that is a common with all computers. Whatever somebody built, that means there's a hole in it.
Right.
There always is. So anyway, we got a bunch more beers, and
I'm ready.
Gosh, we're just all over the place, and let's take a musical interlude, and we'll be right back.
Hey man, I don't know what's going on with me. I work 7 days a week. I work sick all day. I bring home my paycheck. You don't even want to see. I'll drink your bad water, baby, if you want me to.
Keeping the whole mojo thing going, that was Carl Sims with Mojo Hand. And Mike is apparently embracing the school of the giant head. A big foamy head's not enough for him. He wants a big honking giant head.
I'm not worthy.
He's got like I swear I thought there was no beer in the glass, but he's got a huge head. Now, it looks good. And, you know, it was funny. Rick Sellers on his website, he has this thing about pouring beer. Now, you've probably seen how to pour a beer. And it's like tilt the glass, pour, hit the middle, and then straighten it out. Because you want to get like a 2 or 3 finger head, right? And he advocates pour straight down. And, Rick, I know you do that a lot. You just pour straight down into it. Depending on the beer, you may get a giant-ass head. But... And I think this is there. I don't know if there's science behind this or not, but Rick Sellers maintains that this opens up the beer. It diffuses the carbonation quicker, and it will release aroma better and stuff. And so I think there's some merit to that. And so I kind of, depending on how the beer pours, kind of try and get a bigger head. I've been trying to get like three and four finger, and then I wait on it to settle.
Yeah.
Then I pour a little more.
And then, you know, while you're waiting, it's warming up a little bit, and a lot of the beers that we like, it warms up to drinking temperature.
Exactly.
Because all refrigerators are set at
whatever.
Cold.
Yeah, not
really, really cold.
All right, Rick, what do you think about that?
I got the same thing when I poured mine.
Yeah.
Probably a 3 to 4 inch head with the large bubbles that you were talking about last time.
Did you pour straight down?
No, I sure didn't. But I also haven't washed my glass. I'm kind of wondering if there was a little bit of residue left over from the other beers.
Well,
and this one is a dark copper.
It is. It's darker than the ones that we've had. Actually, the Lenny's.
The Lenny's is a little darker. Yeah, it was pretty close to this, I think.
And this is a little hazy. Of course, we're talking about a beer. We haven't told you what it is.
We ought to do that, huh?
Yeah, probably. Or guess by the description.
Okay, listeners, mail your entries to Big Foamy Head.
P.O. Box BR549.
Hickville, USA.
This is...
it's an Imperial IPA.
It's Avery Brewing Company, and I love the Avery guys. You know, that's one of the ones we've got on tap here at the tap houses. But this is their Imperial India Pale Ale offering, the Maharaja.
Ooh.
And Rick is drinking the same thing. So we're doing a... it's not exactly bi-coastal, since we're more or less vertical.
By what?
Bi-coastal.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
It's bi-state-al.
Mind out of the gutter, Mike.
So this pour's good. And Avery's always done a good job with all their beers. And the head that I'm seeing, it's like what we were talking about. Lots of lace, clinging to the glass, pillows, rocky head, peaks and valleys. Very pretty. The beers in the ones we've got is pretty hazy. And it's a little cold, but it's got a little bit of haze. How does it look on your side?
It's like a dark amber color, and you're right, it's hazy.
What's the alcohol content?
I've tasted it, though. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I just took my first taste, too. It's very good. And it has a good, clean finish, and it's got a little sweetness, and I like that. I guess that sweetness is probably coming from the alcohol, the sugars in the alcohol, but it's very, very good.
Best balanced one I've had today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's not like the one we had, the Imperial IPA we had from Green Flash was a little more citrusy. It actually was a little lighter, I think, on mouthfeel. This has got a little bit of density to it, but I like that. I'm looking here. I'm scrambling around trying to find this guy. The Avery Maharaja 98 on rate beer out of 667. This weighs in at 9.6% alcohol.
The Avery site has it down for 9.78.
Okay. Well, I'm reading off a rate beer. All right. That's the way I always got to. Look at this. Weighing in at a huge 112 IBUs.
What's the alcohol content?
And 9.9% alcohol. They contradict themselves. Maniacal display of hops and malts. This newest Avery Dictator completes the Dictator series, because one of the ones we got coming up is the Czar. Yeah.
Okay.
I love the Czar.
And, yeah, joining the Kaiser and the Czar.
Wow.
Be aware that the Maharaja is a limited release, but actually I've seen it for a while. And this is Avery Brewing Company out of the wilderness known as Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, I was just about to mention I could hop in my car and be there within.
You could like roll downhill and you'd be there.
I heard you got a new tent.
I do. I'm in a new basement altogether. And,
that's right. You got a new crib.
Yeah.
How's that working for you?
It's pretty cool.
Did you have to join a new gang, or are you still a crib?
No, I didn't have to join a new gang. Actually, they're too mellow out here in Boulder for gangs.
Are they? Okay. So. Well, you're still wearing your colors, right?
Sure.
Right. Of course. Are the folks you're living with Democrat or Republican?
I haven't asked. I'm not very interested to know.
Are they pretty nice people?
Yeah, sure they are.
Are they homebrewers?
No, but they have brewed in the past, and they make their own beef jerky.
Really?
They make bathtubs.
Yeah, he had the smoker, and the first day I was here, he was smoking some ribs. And
well, maybe you can get him doing the homebrew thing.
Pretty comfortable about it.
Did you guys?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You guys show him how to do a rib,
up, don't you?
What now?
You have a batch coming up.
I'm going to work on it. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, whether I want to do the all grain or the extract. But I'm going to try to do an imperial stout.
That's one to do and put away.
Yeah, I want it kind of to pop out during about the middle of football season.
And we were having this discussion. An IPA can be pretty quick, months, 5-6 weeks to get a nice IPA. You know, the ones I've done. But I don't know about an imperial IPA. When you brew a beer that has a lot of malt, in order to get the alcohol up, what kind of time are you looking at for that thing to really properly rest and come to its full potential?
When you go to Northern Brewer and you're looking at the kits, they actually give you recommended times on how long it's going to take.
Uh-huh.
And usually a big beer like an imperial IPA and Russian Imperial Stout, they're the 4 to 6 months or more,
I saw some IPAs and they were like 3 to 4 months, and then the Imperial Stouts and whatnot were like 6 months, and so I thought about maybe getting an Imperial Stout in the can and get it going, and then maybe doing another Hefeweizen with maybe some fruit, or I was talking to Dick a little while ago about doing one with watermelon. What do you think about that?
There's a brewery out in the Bay Area of California that does a watermelon beer. Yeah.
And I think it might be the same one. I was telling them I got a...
Does it do good?
I got a little notice from the beer chef about a tasting that they're doing out in the Chapel Hill Hotel. And I forget the name of the brewery, but it has a watermelon beer.
Like, was it 21st Amendment? Yeah. I have a feeling that's it.
I cannot recall the name of the brewery, but it was one of the guys. Like I said, oh, yeah, that guy. And it
was 21st Amendment at Toronado, one of those guys.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, what would you do for getting the watermelon into the beer? Would you condense 5 watermelons?
You need a really wide opening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Would you scoop out all the fruit and condense it down into and render it down into a quart or a gallon, or what would you do?
Well, for fruit beers, I can tell you for like ones that use apricots and blueberries and things, they suggest a lot of these pie fillings because they're already kind of cooked down.
Uh-huh.
Watermelon, I think, so that's kind of a different proposition. So, like, I'd go back at you here, just a suggestion. Depending if you're using a lighter beer, you probably want a lighter fruit. Watermelon's a good choice, except I personally think that's kind of light. What about like a melon?
You're going to have a hard time getting any real characteristics.
No,
right.
Now, what I'm saying is,
Without having to use like an extract.
If you use a really, really ripe watermelon, they're very, very sweet. And then if you get like 5 or 6 of them, put them together, and then maybe cook it down.
Rendered. You realize all that sweet is going to turn into alcohol because the yeast are going to eat
That's
it.
That's right. And that Unless will change you, the flavor character.
Huh.
You know, sterilize the beer
yeah.
beforehand, pasteurize it, yeah. and then you could add fruit to it and still maintain the sweetness.
The only one I've done that's been fruit is the apricot clone, where I threw apricots in. The first time I did it in the primary, and I did it in the secondary. This last one I did, because I had Chinook hops, and I knew Chinook is just going to, you know, pimp slap anything you put into it, I only did it in the secondary. So it still had a little bit of that on the finish. You could not taste it at all.
Could you taste the apricot?
Got a tiny little bit at the end.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but your first batch really had a strong taste of apricot.
It did. And it, because it wasn't using Chinook. So it's kind of one of those things that depends on, like, the beers we're drinking now, we have not had two with the same hop blend.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over the board, right? The amount of the hops that you put in, coupled with the amount of sugars, malts, and or fruit, that's going to dictate how the taste goes,
mm-hmm.
right? And so less hops, more malt taste. Less hops, throw fruit in, more fruit taste. As you jack the hops up, you got to bring the sugars up simply because it'll get overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, what is it? The IBUs for like a pale ale is like 65 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go past that, it's going to get almost undrinkable unless you bring them
all. What's the IBUs on a Hefeweizen?
Oh, well,
probably like 30, 20.
Probably in the
40s. Yeah.
40s?
Yeah, 35, 40, something like that. I mean, that's a guess. I don't know. Somebody, I'm sure, will correct us.
So then you could probably get a fruit to, you know, help out or you'd be able to taste the fruit.
It's one of those things.
I don't know how you feel about this, but you can always go and get an extract flavoring. I've done that before with, let's say, hazelnut extract flavoring and several other kind of raspberry extracts and things like that.
Do you know if they have a watermelon?
Oh, man, you can get everything.
They do.
You can get everything.
They do.
Well, I got one thing before we get off of the flavored beers subject. I saw this on Alton Brown about coconut cakes. He had this whole thing, and that's like my wife's favorite cake. She loves a coconut cake.
Mm-hmm.
So they were showing how to make this from pure, fresh coconut. And we got in a show coming up soon, a coconut porter that we're going to try.
Lovely.
So, you know how you make a coconut extract?
Hmm.
Well, what you do, and this may work for anything else, is you get a cup of vodka and you put a whole bunch of coconut in there. That's how you make an extract.
Really?
Yeah, the alcohol
also,
the alcohol draws out the flavors and flavors it. So you can just, you know, do the math. If you're dumping alcohol into beer, where's the downside to that?
So I need to put a quart of vodka into every watermelon I use to
just
make this
to
beer.
Just to be safe. I think you should. Just to be safe.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, and then you got to watch your son to make sure he's not eating too much.
That's correct.
Yeah, those special watermelons.
Yeah.
Daddy's special watermelon. That's right. That's daddy's melon. Stay away from that. Go over there and eat that Twinkie I gave you. Good stuff.
I am loving this Maharaja.
I know. Isn't it
very
really
good?
It's really good. It's got a kind of a denser mouthfeel.
I agree.
I like that.
A little thicker.
You guys have the bottle in front of you? Because mine says it was bottled May 2007, batch 6.
Ours has, I'm looking for the damn date stamp. Oh, no. This one says 102 IBUs. I'm looking for
That's what their website says.
Yeah, 1.085 original gravity alcohol, 9.78. I don't see a date stamp on mine.
That's all on your bottle? I don't see that. Do you have the little Maharaja dude on it?
Yeah, the little Maharaja dude on
where do you find your date stamp?
Green background.
Right underneath him, the cross swords and the little...
Okay, in the black label?
Yeah.
February 2007, batch 5.
Okay, so you got the batch before mine.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, well, there you go. And I think we're probably very close. And I can't believe you can see that.
That's pretty small print.
You got
your cheaters on?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's why. I don't have mine on. I thought it was a decoration.
I tell you, the bottle's awesome. All the
Yeah, the map and the stuff behind it, yeah.
It's good stuff.
And last we forget, India Pale Ale is the pale ale brew to ship over from India from Britain to India.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a trivia thing, and I challenge any of our super beer connoisseurs to answer. What was the beer that was first developed to ship over there to India? There's your challenge. What was it? And we'll have to find the answer and reveal that on a later show. Because I don't know.
Budweiser.
It was a Budweiser IPA. It's very, very rare and very bad. It took an awful lot of rat urine to create the Budweiser IPA. You know, those guys have been awful quiet. The beast in St. Louis.
They're making too much money. They're quiet.
Well, they were making a lot of noise for a while there about coming out with things. Remember they had the Michelob?
Yeah. All the Ultras.
But they've been awful quiet lately.
Well, they brought all the Ultras out with flavors.
They must have had a good quarter or something that they're not coming out with something new.
And they came out with that Wild Hop. Did you ever try any of that?
Yeah, that faux, like they were going like, oh, it's a new microbrew. No, it isn't. Budweiser.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that like in Fort Collins, right up the road here?
What?
I know there's a Budweiser brewery in Fort Collins.
The Wild Hop thing?
Yeah, I think that's where it's coming out of.
Well, I don't know.
It could be. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but.
Well, I do have a bit of beer news. Okay, you remember we a while back we talked about our city brewing that. The huge brewery we had where they used to make Blue Moon was looking for somebody to brew. It was under a new owner, and they were looking around for somebody to brew or something to brew. Well, they've landed a contract.
So good.
It's not beer. No, it's bigger than beer. Lil Jon, and Rick, I know he's one of your favorite Dirty South rappers. Lil Jon. has a line of energy drink called Crunk Juice.
Crunk.
And
get my crunk on.
By God, we're brewing it right here in Africa. You can get your crunk on, and you just got to go down the street. Or as we say, the street.
Is that the old Coors?
Yes, sir. City Brewery is now the official brewer and distributor of Crunk Juice. And Lil Jon,
now it's non-alcoholic though, right?
It's non-alcoholic, but you can pour some vodka into it.
True,
and it good, or some gin.
Yeah, I think they have some legal issues there. They can't brew any alcoholic beverages for like three years.
Oh yeah,
without having the union come in.
Right.
So this whole thing is a union busting move.
Oh yeah, that's the only reason they did it. This was the last union. Plant in the United States.
So they're trying not to be scabs.
Right.
Okay, good for them.
And they've been brewing Arizona tea out there for a while, too.
Yeah, I think heard they about that. They picked up a little contract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a big business section page. All right, well, let's take another break. We're going to come back, drink a couple more beers.
Eat a few more banana peppers.
And just get our crunk on. Be right back.
Yeah.
Like I said, that was our old favorites from the Blues Festival / Topless Bar experience. North Mississippi All-Stars.
Alternative dance.
All right. Interpretive naked dance is what that's all about. And, Rick, I know that it's been on your list to hit every topless bar in the Denver and Boulder area, but you got sidetracked here recently with the Blues Chicks extravaganza you went to.
Well, you know, Big Foamy Head, we're all about the beer, blues, and barbecue. So up in Lyons, Colorado, there's a place called Oscar Blues, and they do the Dale's Pale Ale and the Old Chub in the can. And these are really fantastic craft beers that are canned, you know, so it's kind of getting rid of the stigma of the cans. And they had a all-female blues review. So it was a two-day event, and I went up there, and when I first got there, it was Sunday afternoon. I thought I was kind of running late, was worried that it'd be sold out, whatever. All the lights in the place were out. I guess they plugged in too many amplifiers or whatever. They never really explained what happened, but they hadn't even started the show yet.
Didn't pay the power bill.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe they're not selling enough old chub. But they got the power on, and then they came around, and everybody either had to get a wristband or leave, so that's a $17 pop right there.
$17. That's in Colorado prices.
Well, it went to charity.
It'd have been $3 here in Memphis.
Some women's shelter. I don't know what the exact name of the place was, but so for women who've been whooped up on by their old man, you know, just some place to go to.
Like Ike Turner.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm going to get Ike Turner on your ass, Biatch.
That's right.
Get in the kitchen, biatch.
I drank some old chubs that day, and they had a barbecue out on the patio. They tried to do some smoked pulled pork, and they had some chicken and a couple of other items.
And how was it?
The barbecue was not that great. It kind of had a sandy texture to it.
Get out.
So, yeah,
that's not good at all.
It wouldn't have done well in Memphis, but for Colorado, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, you're screwed. I mean, you're never going to have anything. You are. It tasted a sandy texture.
And there's only three places to eat barbecue in the world, and that's Texas, Memphis, Tennessee, and maybe Kansas City.
Now, you're forgetting.
North Carolina.
Well.
And, as in certain spots, Alabama.
Well, maybe.
No, it is. You know, there are four regions, right? And you named three of the four. North Carolina is the fourth on the Food Network. So just because they're different, right? And Alabama just has that one weird white sauce thing, which I love for chicken.
That's cool.
Not for pork, for chicken.
But I'm really impressed with Colorado's attempt to actually be a barbecue town.
Well, you know, give them an E for effort, right? You know, I mean, it's a good thing. And the thing is, Rick, if you ever cook for anybody there, they will just fall all over themselves going, how did you learn this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're bringing stuff they have no idea about. So what happened with the Blues Chicks thing?
Well, you know, the place was loaded with women. I was going, this is kind of looking like a little dyke bar going on here. But it really wasn't. They're just a bunch of rock and rollers.
What's the appropriate term for that?
Girls forming different bands every 20 minutes. So,
all right. So if you got a lot of guys there, it's called a salami fest.
Right. This was not a salami fest. This would be the opposite of that.
Whatever that may be.
How about a fishing tournament?
Oh, that's just bad. And we apologize for Mike's political incorrectness. But that's pretty good. Okay, new code word, fishing tournaments. Okay.
So, you know, they get up about every 20 minutes and they reform the group that was on stage.
And didn't you say, now tell me, wasn't there some names there from Blues Women?
No.
Is this the local chick one where, like, they just alternate members?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And they called a different band.
I'm confused in the one you went to earlier, where you had a lot of name people that were coming in.
Was Coco Taylor and Buddy Guy.
Yeah.
Coco Taylor, huh?
Yeah, Coco Taylor. All right.
That was a long time ago, though.
All right. I've been drinking.
Yeah.
That's my excuse.
But anyways, some of the songs were good. I mean, there was one Robin Rocker, I think that's what she called herself. She was fantastic.
What was her mother thinking when she named her that? Robin Rocker.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
Mr. and Mrs. Rocker.
Maybe she'll listen to a Michael Jackson album, you know, Rockin' Robin. Robin Rocker.
You're reaching now.
You know, she has said, I can't plagiarize, so I'll do Robin Rocker.
So overall, for your, did you get your $17 worth?
Well, plus the $10 I paid for the barbecue. I did not get my $27 worth.
Oh.
But I would say I got $15 worth.
Okay.
Yeah, because you told me, although it was sandy in texture, you filled up on it.
Well, it was all you could eat, but all I could eat was one plate.
That's right, because you came back to it and said, no.
It was really that grainy? It was really that grainy?
Yeah, you know.
I wonder why. What caused that?
It has a sandy texture to it.
You know, it might be because they don't have the quality pig out there, you know. These guys, it's just like fat packing. He says that he has his own pork producers that he uses.
Well, they're different.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why, like, you know, supposedly the beef in Japan, the Kobe beef, is supposed to be really, really good.
Oh, man, they massage them.
And you cannot get cows like that here. So I guess the same thing might apply to
true.
They're probably like lean, athletic pigs in Colorado. Because they hike a bunch.
Yeah, they do.
It's breathing that thin air.
Yeah. Are out there riding their bikes and running marathons.
Yeah, and the pigs do it too.
Yeah,
they got their little numbers on. They're out there sweating, and so there's hardly any meat. The ribs is pointless trying even to cook a rib.
Yeah, when you start with a pig that weighs 100 pounds and. You try to cook him, you know, it just doesn't work. You got to have that 300-pound pig that we have in Mississippi and Tennessee.
We need those fat Mississippi pigs. Those fat, lazy-ass, trailer-park, cigar-smoking, cheap beer-swilling pigs like we raise here.
So to wrap this segment up, or it's my little bit up, Oscar Blues, Lyons, Colorado, great place. The old show was fantastic. They had a really good menu, and they have a ton of blues there. So I think it's a place that I really want to kind of keep my eye on and see who's playing on occasion. Because I know they've had, like, John Lee Hooker's been there and other people. So.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, we started on our last beer, and I say this for last because I knew it was going to just trash our taste buds. It's guaranteed. It's money in the bank. If it says stone on the label, your mouth is in for an ass weapon. We are drinking the Ruination IPA, which is classified as a double IPA, according to the standards, which also means it's an imperial. And Stone, they're in love with the Chinook. So it's like biting into a pine tree. Beautiful smell, aroma, very fresh. And you start drinking it, and it just bites down on you. It doesn't let go. The finish is very hard, and you got to want that. If you didn't know it was coming, you may not care for it.
Here it is on the back of the bottle, Ruination. And here's the definition of ruination. The act of ruining or the condition of being ruined. A severe state of damage, destruction achieved by wrecking. So that'll tell you how many hops are in this beer.
Well, and you know, the curious thing, though, some of the beers we had earlier, 101, 112 IBUs, right? But this is just like a smack you in the face and steal your money flavor. But it says on there 100 plus IBUs. It's the type of hop. They love the Chinook. They're all about that at Stone. This says on there 100 plus IBU, so it might be 100.5. 99 on rate beer. All right. Now, remember, as we discussed, that's the overall score. But alcohol, 7.7. Yes. It's a low alcohol beer.
Mm-hmm.
But from a taste perspective, it's huge.
Huge hop.
Huge taste.
And, you know, when we're sitting here drinking this beer, if you think about what we have partaken of on the first three beers, we had the Hebrew, and then we had the
Green Flash.
The Green Imperial Flash, IPA. And then the Maharaja.
And on Rick's side, we had the
Mocha Rising, and then the small 471 batch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then now we're tasting this one, and we say, yeah, boy, it's got great hops. But can you imagine not having the three before?
Yeah.
And then tasting this one?
Yeah, it'd punch you.
It
right
would
in the
probably
face.
Knock you out.
You'd probably be bleeding from
because,
orifices that you shouldn't ever bleed from.
Exactly.
Yeah, because it's a harsh and but that's the thing. That's their catch. That's their gimmick. Mm-hmm. And you got to look at the score, 99.
Yeah.
There's that hole, and that's where I was saying about the judging on some of these sites. 99 on Rate Beer is from the overall score. And overall doesn't just take flavor, mouth, feel, nose, appearance into account. It takes what do you think about the beer and marketing and stuff.
Yeah.
Stone is
basically what would you drink this beer again?
Yeah, but it's known for aggressive. But
overall?
There's that whole cachet of popularity, right? This beer is the Lindsay Lohan of beers. It's a drunk, crazy bitch running around driving over little children in the street. So this is the Ruination. Stone has Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan beers, except for one thing.
No Britney?
They got character. Now, they have character. They're flashy and out there in your face, showing their monkey to everybody. But they're good beers.
They're good beers.
So they're going to endure. So they're larger than life beers. Mm-hmm. So I
say
that
here it's like $16, and I forget if that's a 4-pack or a 12-pack.
You said that it's crazy money for a
$16 is a lot for me.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is a bunch.
But the Ruination,
twitch a little bit.
I say this because there is no way you ever want to drink a Stone Ruination before anything, because you're trashed.
Yeah.
All right. One last thing. The beers, dry hopping. Several of the beers that we had refer to dry hopping. Now, Rick, correct me if I'm wrong. The alpha acids are derived during the boil.
You get your bitterness from there.
Dry hopping is after the fact. It contributes to aroma, but isn't it, or is it not, really not that effective at adding the hop taste?
It's very low in creating bitterness. It gives you tons of aroma and flavor. You know, it's what's when you open the bottle and you smell it, you're smelling what's coming out of the dry hopping.
Right.
When you drink it and you taste it and you get that bitter taste on the back of your tongue, that's from the boil.
Right. So. And that's where one of those things, dry hopping, be careful because it's a little bit of marketing speak. Adds to the nose, but as far as the IBUs and bitterness, that's not where it really comes from. But we'll get some more on that from some of our friends out there who we hope will write in and correct us if we've made any mistakes. Not that we're really concerned about that. And a lot more to come on future shows. We're going to wind it up. I have pulled up something here. We got a little blues take on some Led Zeppelin. This is Clarence Gatemouth Brown, Rock and Roll. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back to see us.